2 Chronicles 33, and we're going to start in verse 9. So 2 Chronicles 33, verse 9. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought unto them captains of the hosts of the kings of Assyria, which took Manasseh above among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the Lord, before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering of the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel and raised it up to a very great height and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I ask that you'd use me again tonight. Lord, that you'd fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, open up our hearts that we can hear what you have. Lord, encourage us tonight from your word. And Lord, help us to see the power and your mercy and your love. We thank you for everything in Jesus' name and amen.
Amen.
So this passage, we're talking about King Manasseh in this chapter, and he is an evil king. In the beginning of the chapter, it said that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, likened to the abominations of the heathen. So what that's saying is that he was so bad, he was like the heathen nations that they drove out of the promised land before they got there. So he promoted idolatry. He built up high places and groves and altars for Baal. He desecrated the house of the Lord. He took God's house and he took out the real worship and he put in idols. He put in strange altars and things like that. And in fact, in 2 Kings, when it talks about Manasseh in the parallel passage, it said that he shed innocent blood. So he was a murderer. And in 2 Kings, in that parallel passage, it says he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So if you can imagine, he was a very, very evil king. And the Lord was not pleased. And he, just did so many wrong things. And it's just hard to imagine how evil he would have been, shedding blood. Now, it doesn't go into detail, but I imagine if he took out the real worship out of the house of the Lord and he put false idols, no doubt some of the people he killed were likely the priests and likely some of the people that worshiped the true God. So he shed innocent blood and all of these things. But one thing I want you to know is that King Manasseh is the son of King Hezekiah. And if you remember who Hezekiah was, he is the best king the Bible has other than King David. He's the second best. King Hezekiah, when he came into power, he got rid of the idol worship. He cut down the groves. He tore down the false altars. He put Levites and priests to carry out the true worship of God. In 2 Chronicles 31:10, it describes Hezekiah. It said, he did that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And when he was in trouble, you remember one of the big Hezekiah stories is when he got in trouble, he would pray to God. And then one of the big things is he got sick. And it was the set your house in order, you're going to die. And he prayed to God and asked God to spare his life. And God granted him 15 more years. So in that story and throughout Hezekiah's life, one of the other things you see is he has a very close relationship with Isaiah. So Isaiah is actually the one that brings the message that you're going to die. And Isaiah comes back and says, God's granted you 15 more years of life. So I'm trying to think of this. We've got his father, Manasseh's father is King Hezekiah. So he's got this good upbringing. And no doubt the prophet Isaiah would have visited the king and would have visited the palace. And in fact, Isaiah would have lived during the younger years of Manasseh. And it just baffles my mind that the young man with such a great upbringing, right? I mean, such a powerful upbringing, a godly influence, surrounded by the prophet Isaiah. I mean, can you imagine a better Old Testament prophet to have around? And a father that got rid of all of the evil worship. But one of the things that even though Manasseh, one of the things he would have witnessed is God sparing the city from attack. When they tried to take over Jerusalem and God kept the Assyrians from doing that. So he would have seen the power of God demonstrated. He would have heard about God. He would have been surrounded. But all of that good upbringing didn't stop him from being an evil king. I think that's important. So this good upbringing didn't stop him from doing evil any more than a bad upbringing can stop you from doing good and doing God's will. I think that's important to know and important to remember. That no matter how you raise a child, some are going to turn out okay. Some are going to follow God and continue in this thing. And some are going to stray away. So knowing that, if you're a parent, I know it's hard, but one of the things is you can't beat yourself up because God gives each and every one of us a choice. Now, I'll tell you what, if you have raised them upright, if you've taught them God's word, if you've lived an example in front of them, you have made it as hard as possible for them to stray away. That is your job, by the way. And then once they go out on their own, once they become an adult, your responsibility is over. It is up to them to make the decisions whether they're going to continue in God or not. But I'm here to tell you, you can't beat yourself up over it. The flip side is, don't take too much credit either. Because if they turn out all right, and you can't act like you're the one that did that. Because ultimately, just like every single one of us, if there's any good thing that's come out of our life, it's because of Jesus Christ. If there's any change, any new creature, anything like that, it is because the Holy Spirit's on the inside, changing us from the inside out. So one thing is, remember, without the Holy Spirit, each and every one of us are going to turn to sin. We're going to live by the flesh. So you can't blame yourself that mankind is born with a sin nature and they want to revert to that. But I just imagine Manasseh. He must have got to a point where he said, I am tired of the way my father did it. I'm tired of the way he ran things. I am sick of hearing Isaiah. I would rather abandon all those things and let's get back to worshiping the sun, worship the moon, worship the trees, worship the God of the harvest. And in fact, he even went and made his own idol. As if there wasn't enough idols around already, he said, I'll create another one. We got a lot of people doing that today. A lot of people. Man, all these religions aren't good enough, so I'll make up my own. And I'll be the sole founder, member, and in charge. Because you know what? I don't want to answer to anybody else. But that's what happened. He had a good upbringing, but look at the choices that he made. So then we see something in verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon him the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him in fetters and carried him to Babylon. So he started out his reign 13 years of wicked living, 13 years of trashing the nation and getting people to worship idols and everything else. And then God, he said that's enough. And he let the enemy come in. The same enemy that wanted to take over Jerusalem time and time again. God left. He released the security. He said, you know what? We're going to have to teach him a lesson. So there he goes. He's bound up. He's arrested. And he is locked up in prison. He is there for 10 years. 10 years. King Manasseh is sitting on death row. He had trusted in idols. The Bible said he had delved in witchcraft. He had all that stuff the people around him had done. He had created his own idol. All of those things happened. And now he is on death row. And he could have been bitter. He could have been deep in depression. He could have given up on many of those things. I can imagine the despair and the hopelessness. You know, because maybe at the beginning, maybe his mind, he sort of thought the idols would help him out. But then as the years passed, he probably figured out how stupid it was. You know, an idol that can't talk is supposed to speak and give you knowledge. One that has eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear and arms that can't do anything. And God's like, you know, it's kind of like Elijah there on Mount Carmel. Why don't you cry out a little louder to your God? Maybe he's asleep or maybe he's on vacation or something like that. And then he got to a point where he realized that his gods couldn't do anything. All of that junk wasn't going to help him. Verse 12, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. This is from one verse to the next. This is a miracle right here. Remember, he is a wicked king, exceedingly wicked, that did all of these things, even with the good upbringing. He trashed the house of God, got the nation to follow idolatry. I forgot to tell you one of the things. He offered up his kids as a sacrifice unto God. I mean, the worst of the worst he did. And then you read in verse 12, you see where he, after all of that evil, he decided that he's going to push away the false gods. He's going to humble himself, and he's going to humble himself before the Lord and ask God to forgive him of his sins. Can you imagine this? All these lonely days and night, and I know that childhood, those things started to come back up, and I know that those things from Isaiah started to come back. You know, I'll give you an example, Isaiah 13:11, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. You know what God was saying back then? He said, I will punish wickedness. I will punish wickedness. I'll let it go on for a while, but I will judge evil behavior and I will bring down the proud. And I could just see Manasseh realizing that I am that proud man. I'm that wicked man. I'm that wicked king. And realizing that his lifestyle would just lead to death. There he is in chains. Bound in prison. What a wonderful picture of sin, isn't it? Yeah. God has him bound up. He can't go anywhere. He can't do anything. And then the end is death. Remember, he's on death row. And there's no hope. Each and every one of us are going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God. You either stand on your own evil deeds and your unbelief, or you stand there as a child of Jesus Christ. There's a big difference. But you know what? Even though it seems like this world and their evil deeds will go unpunished, no. It's just a delay.
Yeah.
He said this earth is reserved for judgment and reserved for fire. You know, the Bible, of course, we know Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And if you keep living that way, you'll get the paycheck, which is death. But I'm glad the verse doesn't end there. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It keeps going on. Now, you may say, well, Mike Manasseh wouldn't have known Romans 6:23. He wouldn't have known that. And you're right. But he would have known through Isaiah that there was a Messiah coming and one to come. And you know, he would have heard the different things. And one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He would have heard that verse. And although he wouldn't have seen Jesus Christ and wouldn't have looked back to Jesus like we are today, he would have been looking forward ahead in that prophetic message is that same Savior, Jesus Christ, as the prophet Isaiah is describing the cross 400 years before it happened, before it was even invented as a method of killing somebody. There's Isaiah describing what's going to happen. So there he does. Manasseh remembers that prophecy. He looks ahead and he trusts in Jesus Christ. No different than you and I praying to him backwards in time for forgiveness. Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Yeah. Isn't that amazing that verse is in there? In Isaiah? Amen. In the Old Testament? Yeah. He would have known that verse too.
Yeah.
He would have heard that as well. Yeah. And doesn't that apply exactly to his situation? Doesn't that apply exactly? I believe that conviction fell one day in that prison cell. After so many years, he finally realized. I believe it's just like the prodigal son. Spirit hit him and he came to himself. And he realized, you know what? There's a better way. There's a better place. There's a better God. I'm serving all these little gods. And there's a real God in heaven that can do something about it. I'm living in wickedness. And I'm living in pride. And look where it's got me. It's got me in a dungeon. In a jail cell. Darkness all around and no hope. I'm here to tell you, in that life of no hope, Jesus Christ can still touch souls. It doesn't matter how bad it gets in their life. It doesn't matter how wicked. There is the Lord saying, I will abundantly pardon. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad when I knelt down, he didn't say, I'll pardon this or I might pardon that. He said, I'll pardon it all if you trust in me. Amen. I'm glad for that.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
Then it goes on. You know, in those days, remember, if a king was captured by the enemy, they would have been usually humiliated, tortured. A lot of times they'll pluck their eyes out after they kill all their children in front of them, so they can never see again. And then they'll kill them after that. They always end up killing the kings at the end, almost every situation. But what happens here? In verse 13, God frees him from the bondage of prison and restores him to his throne in Jerusalem. That's unheard of, isn't it? That never happened back then. You know what? The devil wants to try to convince you that your loved ones and your friends are in that prison, in that jail cell, just like Manasseh. You know what I'm talking about? That had a good upbringing, that have heard about the Lord, that have known of the Lord, have heard of good things, and they've decided to go their wicked ways, have decided to follow the ways of the world, and now they're in the bondage of sin. This world has got them tightly. They don't even act right. They don't think right. They don't talk right anymore because this world seems to have got them. It looks like there's no hope, and they've been there for, he was there for 10 years. Yours could have been there longer or shorter, whatever amount of time, but the devil will say it's too late. They're just going to die in their sins. There is no hope for them anymore. But I am here to tell you, somehow the Lord said, you know what? Not only am I going to forgive him, I'm going to bust him out of that prison. I don't know how he did it, but I'm going to restore him to his former place. And that's exactly what God can do in our loved one's life as well. Remember, I said, I don't know how he got him out of prison, no more than I know how that he changed my heart from an old dirty heart to a clean heart. I don't know how he gave me a new life and made me a new creature, but I'm here to say that he did it. So somehow he busted Manasseh out of that jail, out of that sin and darkness, and he brought him back to where he belonged. Praise God. Nobody would have believed that wicked King Manasseh would have ever trusted God, that his life would ever change. But that's where God works, in the hopeless. He shows mercy to the murderers and the evildoers and all of these things. Do you know what? You know what I like about this story? It gets even better. He didn't just make a jailhouse confession, and then as soon as he got out of jail, he went back to his old ways. No, verse 15 and 16 tell us something even more amazing. Not only did he find forgiveness, but immediately he starts getting all of the strange gods, all of the idols, all of the altars. He starts tearing them down and getting rid of them and casting them out of the city. Then he repairs the true altar and starts getting the true worship back in the Lord's house. He makes a complete and total 180, right? Changes everything. He comes back to Jerusalem. He's a different man. He's a different king. There is nothing the same anymore. And I want you to look at verse 17 very closely. Verse 17, right after he does this, it says, "Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places." You know what that means? He changed his life, remember? He did a 180. He repented. That's what that's called. He repented of his old life. And he even did it, even though everyone around him decided they were going to keep doing what they were doing. Even when it wasn't popular. Even when the culture was, let's still worship idols. Let's still do all these things. And then the rest of the verse says, and act like we're worshiping God. That's basically what that's saying right there.
Yeah.
Let's have the old idol, and we'll say we're worshiping God with the old idol. It's junk. Oh, but they do that today, don't they?
Yeah.
Why don't I put this idol in front of my life and saying I'm doing God's will? You know, I can dedicate my entire life to worshiping the bald God as long as I have a Philippians whatever shirt. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I'll apply that to the ball court, even though really it's applied to Paul in prison.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Saying, I will continue to do God's will, even in prison, even when things don't look good. And they'll say, that's God helping me to make a better free throw and three-point shot. Junk. Junk. I'll tell you what you need to do. Get rid of the idol and worship the true God, just like Manasseh did. Manasseh realized that all of those things did not help him when he was in prison.
Right.
And they won't help you either.
Yeah, that's right.
The people wanted to continue in false worship. You realize, it is easier to lead men astray than it is to bring them to the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
And once those bad habits start, it's hard to turn it around.
Amen.
You know what that means? That means it is so important for us to preach and teach the truth. And the only way you know it's the truth is that if you get in here and make sure it's the truth.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how many people we've encountered that they have heard something down the line and it is wrong. It's tradition. It is passed down. And it sounds like it's good, but it's not in here. And the problem is that when we try to convince them what's really in here, they're saying, well, so-and-so, three generations ago, that's long dead and gone by now, that's in heaven and has already been reproved for teaching that junk. Now we're trying to fix it, and they're saying, no, I don't want to hear it. So we just have to preach the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You know what, I'm glad? This is a wonderful picture of what God can do to the sinner, to the backslider. It doesn't matter how bad. It doesn't matter how long.
Sorry.
It doesn't matter what the circumstances. You realize it would have seemed hopeless to all those that knew Manasseh. All the way up until the ninth year and the 364th day.
Yeah.
But then there was another day that came.
Amen.
And everything changed then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows if the one in your family, if your friend or whoever that knew the truth, that used to worship with you, that used to have a relationship with Christ, and has decided, I'm going to go back to the world, I'm going to follow idols, I'm going to go after this junk and claim that I'm still all right, or just flat out ignore all of it and just go their own way. Who knows if their day is right around the corner? You and I can't give up. We can't. That's why we're still calling names out. Even if it feels like a drudgery sometimes, even if it feels hopeless sometimes, do not give up on them.
That's right.
God gave us this example for a reason.
Amen.
Not only because Manasseh was a real king, this really happened, it's true, but it also applies to us today.
Yeah.
The devil says it's hopeless, we can point right there.
That's right.
You had him, didn't you?
Yeah.
You had him. What happened? God happened.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, I'm glad that when He saved each one of us, there was a dramatic change. And if there isn't a dramatic change, you didn't get saved.
Amen. That's right.
But you know what? I'm glad that everyone, whoever, just wholeheartedly and humbly sought repentance from God, you realize they all found it.
Yeah.
They all received it. Including Manasseh. That encourages me tonight. I hope it encourages you.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're trying to live your life without God, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
That's right.
Maybe you've been frustrated because you keep seeing that King Manasseh in your life. But I'm here to tell you, God can change everything.
Yeah.
He can change everything. I don't know what He brought to Manasseh's remembrance. I gave you some examples of verses. But you know, the Holy Spirit, one of His jobs is He brings things to remembrance, yeah. The Bible says.
That's right.
Who knows what they've heard? And He can just bring that right back. As if it was just said a moment ago, He can bring it right back.
That's right.
And they have to think about it. And eventually, they'll get to the point where they're saying, wait a second, it's better at Father's house.
Yeah.
I'd rather be a servant at Father's house.
Yes, amen.
I'd rather than be in this hog pit of the world.
Right.
I'm glad He's still calling people out of this world.
Amen.
He's still restoring. He's still forgiving.
Amen.
He's still healing. I'm glad.
Amen.
I'm going to ask everyone to stand.